Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, April 7th. NASCAR was rained out Sunday. They ran the nationwide race on Friday. The NHRA was off this weekend, but we'll be back in next weekend out at the ZMAX Dragway in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'd like to welcome to the show somebody who will be racing in the Four Wide Nationals this coming weekend, the Pro Stock Series points leader for the NHRA, Erica Ender-Stevens. Erica, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. The first couple races looked like you had a little rough, and then you had that excellent race out there, but wound up losing in the final to Alan Johnson there. I thought you were going to take him. That was a close one. And then out to Vegas, you overcame the hump, winning your first Wally of the season and taking over the Pro Stock points lead. I mean, I guess you couldn't ask for anything better going into the four wides.
No, not at all. The confidence level's high, and, you know, we're just having a really good time as a team. You know, we're pretty new. We're only four races in, but we've had a lot of fun and a lot of success together so far, and we're very optimistic about what the rest of the season holds.
I mean, was the first couple of weeks just a matter of getting used to things, or because it seemed like you finally put it all together the past couple of weeks, falling a little short, and then coming home on top last weekend, it seems like you're finding your rhythm now, and I don't know, I feel bad for the rest of the field.
No, don't feel bad for him yet. no, we didn't do any testing over the off season. We had one preseason test in Phoenix the week leading up to Pomona. You know, going into the Pomona race, I only had like 8 runs in that car as a new driver. You know, I was the only new piece of that team. So we had a couple of issues in Pomona, some pretty serious parts failure that ended up costing us a round win, second round to V Gaines. And then in Phoenix, I don't even recall what happened in Phoenix, actually. But going into Gainesville, you know, we had some work done to our hot rod. We had the new 2014 Camaro front end put on it. They replaced the back half of the car as well with new taillights, new deck lid, new rear bumper. So we modified our 2013 Camaro to the 2014 SS Camaro. And then we had a brand new engine that did really well on the dyno, and we ended up shipping it in the night before qualifying started on Friday. So everything about that car was new in Gainesville. And, you know, we came out and just had a really soft setup, wanted to get down the racetrack first qualifying session, and that ended up being the session we set the world speed record at 214.69 miles per hour. But it was a very conservative run, and we certainly could have knocked the ET record out of the park as well had we made a better run. But the rest of the weekend, we really had our act together, and my guys just did a tremendous job. You know, and then I got to race my buddy AJ in the finals and ended up losing that deal on a hole shot, which is any driver's worst nightmare. But we rebounded very well in Vegas, qualifying number 3 and going on to win the Cannon Challenge, followed by the double up for the national event on Sunday, winning 100 grand. So it was a very good weekend. So that kind of summarizes our season real quick in a nutshell. But very new team, and just excited to all work together. And we're having a blast, and I think that's what is helping us to be successful as we continue to have fun through the ups and the downs.
I was going to say, you looked very happy on after the final round on Sunday, taking home the Wally and doubling up. I didn't realize they had the another competition on the weekend to do that. I know they do that from time to time, and of course, you know, they have the Nitro Challenge as well later on in the year for the funny car top fuel people. But it just seemed to be that the car to beat was yours, and I guess going into the four wides, going from the desert in Las Vegas down to Charlotte, where I think we're finally starting to get some decent weather over this side of the country, and you should be, I guess, all set to go. I guess things happen a lot quicker running four cars on the track instead of two. So.
Yeah, we'll only have three rounds of eliminations on Sunday. But, you know, Charlotte's been a pretty decent track to me. I believe we've runnered up there three times. So I'm looking forward to going back. The four-wide format's always interesting, but, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it definitely gets the fans excited and whatnot. So Bruton Smith did a great job with that. But, you know, the last 2 years in a row, we've runnered up the four-wide. So I'm hoping to take just one step further. But that format makes it very interesting on the starting line, especially for pro stock, because all the pro stock drivers are always trying to screw around with each other up on the starting line. And when you add two more competitors to the mix, it's always interesting. But I think everybody's gotten the hang of it for the most part. And we'll just go out there and do our best and see what happens.
Is that one of the things you have to just mainly worry about, your light and not everybody else's? because there is so much stuff going on between the four of you?
Yeah, I mean, at the four-wides, compared to every other race, the normal race where it's just two of us, pro stock drivers are a little bit more courteous to one another than normal because everybody's worried about getting timed out, you know, the last few years, not last year, but the 2 years prior, there were quite a few racers disqualified because they didn't get in to the stage beam on time. So I think everybody kind of tends to get in a rush there because they don't want to be the last man standing. So it's definitely different, and it's definitely anyone's race there. Just because two of the lanes at that facility aren't used as frequently as the other two, you know, they pose a different challenge for setup. But I'm very confident in my crew chiefs, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to be racing with this Elite Motorsports team. And I think we're going to have a great year.
It seems like it. I mean, because, you know, when you change teams in the off season last year, we were talking about the good things that were going to happen, and you know, the fact you didn't have any testing prior to the beginning of the season. And then you said a couple events ago you changed from the 2013 Camaros to the 2014 equipment. How much different was the newer front and back end versus the older one?
I guess, like, wind tunnel-wise, it's supposed to be a slightly better aerodynamically, but it didn't change a whole lot for us. I mean, it was not a completely new car. It was the same car that Ricky Jones drove last year and then, of course, that I started the season off with in Pomona and Phoenix. So, you know, it was an exciting change, to say the least. I mean, I'm proud to be a factory driver for GM and Chevy Performance. So it's a really cool looking car. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the pictures side by side of the 2013 compared to the 2014, and it's just killer. So it's a bad, bad hot rod.
I'll have to take a look at that. I guess that new motor helped a lot too.
It really did. And that's something the guys back at the race shop in Oklahoma, that's where Elite Motorsports is based out of. My engine builders, Nick Ferry and Jake Harrison, have been working really hard at, you know, finding new combinations and doing a lot of R&D work. You know, we don't do a lot of on-track testing or as much as a few of the other big teams out there, but we certainly do some R&D back in the engine room, and they've proved themselves over and over, and the new piece that they had put together for Gainesville certainly proved to be awesome as we set the speed record and then went out to be, with exception to the first qualifying session, the quickest pro stock car of each of the final three qualifying sessions and then every round of eliminations on Sunday. So it certainly speaks volumes for their dedication and hard work and effort. And, you know, I'm excited. They've duplicated that piece and continue to work on some others. So we've got some pretty bad bullets under the bench and one in the frame rails. And I'm really looking forward to going back to Charlotte to race.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun this coming weekend. I can't wait to see what happens. I hope they don't run the eliminations in the middle of the night like they did last time. It was kind of tough to stay up. But usually they only do that on West Coast. You know, the thing that got me was out in Vegas with the rain, they postponed all the pro stock event eliminations till after the Nitro events, and which kind of made it strange. And I mean, did it kind of do anything to you? Were you kind of antsy, like to get back
yeah,
and get
I
out
mean,
on the
court? It makes you, you have to have a different mindset about it. I mean, we went up there for first round Sunday morning following the field guys, and the winds were just crazy on Sunday. And being that pro stock cars don't have any downforce compared to the nitro cars, it poses a pretty severe threat for us going down track. I mean, the grandstands protect us, you know, maybe half or three quarters of the racetrack. But once you come around the grandstands and we have a direct crosswind of 35 to 45 miles per hour, it's crazy. And it was blowing all the sand and dirt on the racetrack. So the guys, the safety safari, were doing their best to prep the track. And, you know, they go down and they drag it and get the sand off. And then another huge gust of wind would come back and the sand would be, I mean, the racetrack was brown instead of black. So it was very crazy. So they sent Pro Stock back to the pits and continue to run the remaining schedule with the other sportsman classes and then the nitro classes again, and then they worked us back in. I think it was after the semifinals of the nitro cars we got to run first round. So we were on a very accelerated schedule as far as when we go back to the pits. We normally have 60 to 75 minute turnaround, and we were only given 45 minutes. So it was certainly there's some thrashing going on back in the pits, and my guys got all of their work done and really pulled their weight and worked together to get things done. And, you know, we made no mistakes, and we were able to get it done on Sunday. But it certainly was an interesting format. I mean, when you're used to going up for first round and probably letting the clutch out around noon, and then we don't get to get sent back up until around 3 o'clock. So normally we're done, and whoever wins is holding the trophy by 4:30, and it was dark by the time we were done. I think it was like 8 or so. So it was definitely crazy, but I'm glad we were able to get it done. The only bummer part of it is that Alexis and I both won on the same day, and that's only happened one other time in the history of our sport where two female pro drivers win at the same time, and that was when Courtney Force and I did that in Seattle in 2012. So I would have liked to share the podium with Alexis, but because they wrapped so early, they were done at 4:30, and we weren't done for four more hours. Everybody took off, so we had our own little winner circle celebration. But it would have been cool to celebrate with her. But we'll go on to Charlotte and see if we can't do it again.
That's for sure. Maybe get three women up on the podium. Maybe Brittany can. And Top Fuel can get
cool.
It done. And then either Courtney or Alexis. She's been on fire this season, beating Rob Hite twice. And I think the only time was out in Florida. I think she didn't make it past the first round when he wound up taking the Wally. But it's good to see. I think it's going to be a battle between the ladies in Funny Car and Pro Stock with she might not win a championship, but you got the better shot at that. If you can maintain the points lead, then with your good qualifying runs, and you get all the way to the finals. That's a good way to do that going into the countdown, which would, believe it or not, back at Z-Max starting off there.
Yes, exactly. Charlotte in the fall is the first race of the countdown. But, you know, I'm really proud to be leading the points. I've never done it in my pro stock career before, so it's certainly really cool to see my name at the top of the list of all those really talented drivers and, you know, a handful of them who I looked up to as a kid who were racing back then. So it's neat to have my name on the top for the time being. I mean, we're only four races in, and there's certainly a lot of racing left. But, of course, our goal is to be on top at the end of the year, but that's everybody's goal, and we're certainly going to work hard and see if we can make it happen.
Well, you're the first woman ever to lead the points in pro stock, so that's somebody nobody else can take from you.
That's true. Thank you. Yeah. We've been able to secure all the female records in pro stock. You know, unfortunately, there haven't been as many female pro stock drivers or, you know, girls that have attempted to drive pro stock as there have been in the other professional classes like Funny Car and Top Fuel Dragster and Pro Stock Motorcycle has a lot more females than any other class in our sport, but yeah, there are only a handful in front of me, and haven't been any yet to come. So it's certainly an honor.
Well, maybe with you doing it, that'll say to young girls, "Ooh, pro stock." You know, the woman won the championship, leading the points. Maybe that's something to try. But not everybody. Instead of motorcycles or the glamorous nitro cars, what you do takes a lot more work, because you actually have to go through the gears and worry about pulling the chute at the end of the run. You run a quarter mile as opposed to 1,000 feet, which is different than when they shortened it up for the nitro cars a few years back for safety reasons. I could understand why, but you know, there's more work involved in the pro stock machine, and maybe you're setting the trend now for young ladies to follow your footsteps.
Well, hopefully so. I mean, the pro stock car is definitely a challenging race car to drive, and like you said, we're leaving with a clutch, and we have to shift four times. It's five gears in the car, and we're in high gear by half track, which is just over 4 seconds into the run, so everything's happening very quickly, and a lot of pressure's on the driver's shoulders to perform perfectly. I mean, you cannot miss a shift by 50 or 100 RPM because you're just killing your run. So it's very important to be on the top of your game all the time and make no mistakes. But on the other side of it, it's so much fun. I enjoy that pressure being on my shoulders, and I absolutely love shifting and leaving with a clutch. I mean, people ask me all the time, do you want to move up to funny car or top fuel car and whatever, and given the opportunity, I drive anything. I just want to race, but my heart and soul is in pro stock. I eat, sleep, and breathe it, and absolutely love every aspect of it.
Well, with every move you take, now that you've broken through the event win column and you won a little earlier this year, and there's better chance of you winning some more. So you're just going to build on your own legacy, and the further you go, higher up, and the better you do, that sets the bar even better. So your name alone will be the one in the record books in that division until some other girl tries to come along and break it. So who knows? You're like the Shirley Muldowney of the pro stock division.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I'm a big, huge fan of Shirley Muldowney's, and we're now third in the standings behind Angel with 41 wins, and then Shirley with 18 wins, and I've got 8, 7 in pro stock and 1 in super gas. So it's a big honor to be following in Shirley's footsteps, and she's such a great role model and mentor and just a legend in our sport, and I really look up to her a lot.
Yeah, there's not too many trendsetters. It was, of course, her career back in the earlier days. It's one woman that I haven't had the pleasure of having on the show yet, so I'm going to track her down and get her on and see how she feels with you and Alexis, Ashley, and Courtney. And Courtney, speaking of Ashley, just got relicensed, so she might be coming back to the funny car division. So I told her sister Brittany Show to talk her into going top fuel this way. There'll be a few more women in that end as well. So it's just great to see, and glad to see that you're coming off a win, and after a runner-up, of course, the runner-up, at least to Alan Johnson, must have been a little tough pill to swallow, but he's been doing it quite some time, and they said he got you on a hole shot. How does that happen? I mean, how do you get a hole shot? I mean, just...
A hole shot, by definition, is when you, all right, I had the faster car in the final round, but he got the win late because he left the starting line first. So he was, 17 on the tree, and I was 37. So, my light wasn't terrible, but his was just that much better. And You know, it's definitely a tough pill to swallow, especially being that we had the fastest car in Gainesville. But at the same time, I mean, it's just, if I have to lose, I want it to be to AJ. I mean, he's my best bud out there. And they debuted the Dodge Dart that weekend. So that was a really cool win, a historical win for him and for Mopar and Dodge. And, you know, it all worked out for the best. I mean, I think God has a plan. And we went on to Vegas and we were able to get our win there. And we'll just see how the rest of the season goes.
That's what we're pulling for here. And, of course, I'm a big fan of yours. That's why I keep trying to grab you back on the show all the time. So.
I'm sorry. I missed you last week. I know I was scheduled to be on, but my plane was delayed out of Vegas, and
that,
I didn't end up getting
yeah.
home until, like, 11 o'clock. And I texted Lee before I left. I'm like, I'm going to be on the plane during the show. So, anyway, I'm glad we can make it work, but I apologize
that's
for not being able to get you last
those
week.
Those things happen. It wasn't your fault about the plane. I mean, you know, if I didn't, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do a pre-tape, and if I didn't have some running around to do before airtime, I probably would have. But I, you know, I prefer live as we could have more fun interacting that way. And now it's between weeks, so you had a chance to enjoy the win a bit and prep a little bit for the upcoming week, so you're not all running around. And because last time, if your flight made it on time, you'd been landing, and then you'd had to go get home or get to where you were getting to make the call, and it was probably easier turning out this week anyway, so.
Yeah, it worked out great. So I appreciate you having me on.
And it's always a pleasure having you on. Then hopefully we'll see that second Wally of the season this Sunday night.
Sounds like a plan to me, hopefully so. And then after Charlotte, we go to my hometown of Houston. So there's some pretty important races coming up for me, and I just I'm hopeful that we can continue our success. But either way, I'm just so honored to be driving this Elite Motorsports Chevy Camaro, and I'm having a blast with these guys. They treat me awesome, and it's exciting to go to the races again, and that means a lot to me. So we'll just keep plugging away at it and see how it turns out.
Well, if you're from Houston, you're living where? New Orleans now? They ought to come out with the Cajun Nationals.
Right. Yeah, Houston's the closest we get to where I live now in New Orleans. We used to, Memphis was kind of close, but they took that off the schedule. So it would be cool to have a Cajun Nationals.
If the NHRA, yeah, how do you drivers feel like if they, you know, do you like the schedule now? Would you like to see more events? I know. And
well,
NASCAR, they have 36
right
events.
Yeah, their season's very long. I mean, our season right now is pretty long. I mean, it's a little more stretched out than NASCAR as far as how many weeks off we have. But our season's February through November. We've got 24 events, and it's pretty crazy right now. So I know that the last couple of years they've added two, because we were at a 22-race schedule there for a couple of years, and then a 23-race, and now a 24. So they keep adding a few, and it was really exciting for us to have Epping, New Hampshire added to the schedule last year, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to go there this year. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds, but NHRA is certainly working hard at things, and we're trying to market our sport better, and, you know, hopefully one day we can get to the level NASCAR's at. I mean, drag racing is so awesome. I wish more mainstream media agreed with that. But we'll continue to work at it.
Well, let's put it this way. I think at one time the NHRA was far and away ahead of NASCAR, and they just did something marketing back in the 80s when the advent of, I guess, ESPN and cable TV came along. They were able to hook into that. And then, but, you know, they've seen a decline over the past few years, because I don't know whether it's the fans not liking the way the competition's gone, or the way the races have been run. In drag racing, it's, you know, one-on-one, and may the best car win and the best driver win, and move on to the next round of, so, you know, you get all the way through the finals, where I think it's a better product the way it's marketed. It's just that you might need more markets.
Right. Right.
But what do
I
know?
It's a great bang for your buck. I mean, you can run a championship contending car for a tenth of the budget of what it costs to be a primary sponsor in in NASCAR and then our sport is so, so fan friendly that every ticket's a pit pass and, you know, kids 13 and under get in free. So it's a great family event. You know, on the weekend you can bring your whole family out without going broke or having to go get a background check to get into the pits. It's just, it's awesome. It's an awesome sport and it's certainly a lot of fun. So I know that, like you said, just got to market it a little bit better.
That's also a lot easier to cover because, it's a little tougher watching 500 miles of racing than it is watching four rounds of elimination.
And, right, you get instant results.
And you got three or four main divisions. You got the two nitro division. You got the pro stock cars, pro stock bike, and there's the top four, and then not even the pro stock biker at every event, which kind of surprised me. But the more I watch, the more I learn.
Right.
So all I could say is thanks for coming on, and it's always a pleasure having you on. I'll let you get rolling back to what you're doing. Want to give your sister's fitness place a plug? Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Courtney Enders Fitness, GE Fitness. She's on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and offers meal plans and workout plans, and she sends the emails with the videos so you know which exercises to do. And she started a really awesome little business and kind of put me on the program, so I'm certainly working towards some fitness goals. But she's a great little athlete and does a great job, so thanks for letting me plug her.
Well, why not? Maybe one day we'll get her on and tell her how she works you to death sometimes.
Yeah, so we could all laugh about that. She's awesome. She's a great role model when it comes to that. She was in Vegas with me, and I mean it's definitely tough being on the road all the time and having to make the right meal choices at the right times and finding the time to eat five times a day and work out. You know, it's certainly a challenge, and she was able to do that in Vegas. So it certainly shows that it can be done. You know, Matt Hagen's another one that really focuses on his fitness and stuff. So it can be done. You just have to have that discipline and dedication, and I got to learn that through her. So she's a good role model for me in that sense anyway.
Well, I guess if it keeps you healthy and keeps you to where you can keep winning and her plans are working. I don't know, Matt Hagen, he just looked like he was a workout guy. I thought he was, you know, coming from a cattle ranch, maybe 60 miles up the road from where I'm at now, up in Christiansburg. I figured that's enough workout as it is on the off season. I mean, or you know,
right,
between races. But that's just it. Motorsports, it's not like it used to be. You got to stay in shape and keeps you sharp and all that kind of stuff, your reflexes and all that. And it can only lead to better things.
Yes, sir.
Well, Erica, thanks again for joining me. It's always a pleasure having you on. And good luck this weekend at the Four Wides. Hopefully you get your second Wally of the year and build on that points lead. I want to have you on as the champ at the end of the season. Of course, we'll touch base throughout if you like. And
absolutely. But from your lips to God's ears, hopefully that plan works out. But I appreciate you having me on frequently, and we'll continue to do that. And like you said, hopefully the big one at the end of the year, we'll see how it goes.
That'll be great. Cause, last year we had Langdon on when he won his championship. Started in 2009, I had Rob Height on a few times, and he won his championship. The year after, I had John Force on four or five times. He won his championship. I was like, wait a second, I might be setting a trend here. But I don't like to talk about it, so I'm afraid of jinxing.
Well, let's keep talking then, if that's the case.
Well, that's all right. That sounds like a plan. So look for me to contact your PR in a couple of weeks, or maybe another four races when you got a couple more Wallys tucked in, or we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. There you have Erica Ender's Pro Stock Points Leader, first woman ever to lead the points. And she's always a great sport coming on. I had a little connection problems last week. Her flight was delayed, and it's always more fun having her on live. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have young short track racer Brittany Yarwood will be joining me, and we're going to talk about her career. She races out in Oklahoma. She'll tell us what it's like. She says she's been racing 8 years now, so we'll see if we can get her name out there so you can follow her. She should be calling in a minute or so. On that note, I'll take a little break. I'll be right back after these words.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to us here on blogtalkradio.com. And my next guest is a young and up-and-coming driver, driving on the short tracks out in Oklahoma, young Brittany Yarwood. Brittany, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on here.
So my Facebook page, Talent Hunter, contacted you to see if you wanted to come on, and you race out in Oklahoma, right?
Yes, I do. I race in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I race 600cc micro sprint.
So what made you decide to pursue, I guess, a racing career?
Honestly, I've been going to the track ever since I was little. I actually went to watch my uncle race when my mom was pregnant with me. So it's been something that's been in our blood for a long time.
So you were a race fan in the womb.
I sure was, yes.
So that's pretty interesting. So I guess that's pretty much how it all starts. You get to go to the track and see how much fun everybody's having out there, and look like
definitely.
And you were bitten, so you got started. I see now you're racing this, also racing the stock division. Is that also a micro sprint, or is that a bigger car?
It's also a micro sprint. It's a little bit, it's about the, I guess you would say, like the novice class. It's right below the pro class of micro sprints. I race the wing division and the non-wing division, and We've done pretty good so far. I think I'm better without the wing, though. So
better without the wing? Do you get better control of the car that way, or?
I think that the car just it handles a lot better, and to be honest, it's a lot more fun than have that wing planted down. It's quite a trip to go out there, and it feels like you're going a whole lot faster, I think, without the wing.
Yeah, I guess the wing gives you all that downforce, and might feel like it's like driving into a wind wall.
Yeah,
so that was, the micro sprints are, because you always hear like, now what's the difference between the 600 cc's? That's a motorcycle engine you run?
Yeah, we run a Honda RR engine, and there's a class above us that can 36s, and that would be our multi-classes, but they're straight out of the bike, usually cars for my division, hence the stock division, where you can't really do much to the motor.
Now, you're going to look to want to move up to the full-size sprint cars, either 360s or the something a little bigger, or you want to stay here? Because you have a feature win in the micro sportsman's class, and so that's good to have a trophy under your belt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was actually one of the first girls to win that division, which was pretty exciting. I really do want to race bigger sprints or even get a midget. It's just it's hard to find sponsors and to get that money because it's so expensive to run a bigger class like that, and, you know, we just don't have the money to run that right now.
Yeah, that seems to be the case with everything as far as racing goes. Got to have the sponsors to background. Now, you have a sponsorship with Royal Purple. Do you think maybe they could up the ante a little bit? And say, hey,
it's great. I mean, I have, you know, the sponsors that I do have, they're great. Royal Purple is one of them. They give me product sponsorship as well as helping out with, you know, a bunch of their apparel as well that I get to sport throughout the season, which is great. I have a great rep there, and I'm be able to have what I have with them. It'd be nice to get some more, but, you know, they got a bunch of other people that they're sponsoring as well. I'm also sponsored by Max Cleaners to make sure that my uniform is looking good every week, and by Liquid Designs and Graphics, who he did my car graphics and he painted my helmet, so he did a really great job.
Cool. And, you know, it does get a little expensive. What's the cost to run a micro sprint a season? At least where you're at, it might be different in different parts of the country depending on, you know, where you live.
Right.
Sometimes on the East Coast, it costs more just because the cost of everything's higher.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm actually blessed that I'm in Oklahoma because, you know, it's one of the states that cost of living isn't so high. But to run a total season, I know for each week, just to get me in to run two classes is $60 just one night, and, you know, we have to pay for fuel. So we average out probably running about $200 to $250 a night just to get going, and that's just if we don't break anything.
That doesn't sound like a lot on a per week, but it does all add up, especially if you're running multiple nights a weekend throughout the whole racing season, which on small tracks can you're looking at about 30, 40 weeks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We run about anywhere between 30 to 40 races a year, and sometimes more just depending on, you know, if we get rain out dates. But lately the start of our season has been pretty bad. We've just kind of had some bad luck and technical issues, and unfortunately, you know, the cost to pay is getting high at the beginning of the season, which is not how we like to start it out.
No, it's one thing to – have you been racing, what, 8 years now? That's a pretty long time.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually got started later in the game than most people. I started when I was 17, and this will be my 8th year now to race. So, you know, a bunch of people start out when they're about 4 or 5, and I didn't have that luxury at the time, but, you know, it was something I wanted to do, so I pursued it and actually bought my first car in order to get to where I am now.
So I guess I see you're a dental assistant, so I guess that helps pay for your racing expenses.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, and it's a great job. I work Monday through Thursday, which is excellent because 2 day shows on the weekend, I already have Saturday off, so I can't really complain about that. Not to mention, I work for a great company. It's a good career to be in, and it does help with paying for racing. I pay my dad's way in the pits every week, too, since he does so much for the car as well.
Yeah, it seems like everything you have to pay for at these small tracks, because a partner of mine, she She just does reports for dirt tracks for National Motorsports Network, and I'm going to throw you her way, too, this way she can get you some more exposure. When,
Yeah, that would be excellent. Well, and I'm sure she has a good time, you know, being able to interview and see what's going on in the dirt world. I love dirt racing. You know, I haven't been to much asphalt racing, but, you know, to me, I grew up with dirt, so it's kind of secondhand nature.
Are you looking to move into, I guess, upper series, or are you pretty happy with doing the weekend thing at the local track?
I would love to move up into a series. We're actually going to travel a little bit this year. We're going to try and hit up mainly in Oklahoma. I mean, we're going to hit up Creek County Speedway, which is out in Kellyville, and hopefully go to Oklahoma City and Muskogee, Oklahoma, if they're running a few tracks. I'd love to be able to move up to the bigger cars and run like an OCRS series or an ASCS dinner region, pursue that dream of mine.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about it, too, is that, I mean, when I see, like, young ladies that go into racing, they all want to, they all like starting the oval track circuits and want to move on to NASCAR and things like that. I always wonder why not so many go into drag racing, which seems to be like the NHRA seems to have more women that compete and win than in the oval track series. We just had poor Erica Anderson, who's leading the points in the pro stock division, the NHRA. She would like some company out there.
Yeah, I'm sure she would. You know, there seems to be, you know, the females, they're starting to step up a little bit. There's quite a few female dirt racers are doing well, and the NHRA, like you said, I mean, Erica Enders, I mean, Tina Skold, there's a couple of them that do, you know, the forces, they do a pretty good job, I would say, running them, and it's great to see some girls being able to make a name for themselves in a male-dominated sport.
That's the truth, and they, you know, there's, I think, you have three women that have won their events this year, two women that have won their events this year, Alexis DeJoria run a funny car, but her dad sponsors her. He owns Patron Tequilas.
Oh, yeah, that would come in handy.
Yeah, and Erica, who last year broke through the ice and picked up her first win, and now she's the points leader, and it's the first woman ever to lead the points of pro stock. And, of course, the four sisters who've done well.
It's great to see that. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, we're able to, you know, compete with the guys now and show them, you know, we have the drive just like they do. And, you know, Erica Enders is actually one of the people I look up to. She's a talented driver. I've seen the show with the forces that they had on TV before, and they're an amazing inspiration as well. I mean, it's great to see girls do so well. As far as the dirt series go, you know, there's not too many that are out there that are making a name for themselves. Yeah, I mean, you got Harley White that does pretty well in the ASCS series, and Michelle Decker, who runs Midgets in ASCS, which is pretty cool.
So it just seems like the more you young ladies out there, gotta flood the division so we get more of you to the upper tiers of motorsports. And this way you can see your name in a win column, taking home a Sprint Cup or even a nationwide trophy or
things like that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it'd be great. But, you know, I'm hoping Danica Patrick can do some work this year. I mean, it seems she hasn't had the best of luck, but hopefully she can step it up and hopefully show that girls, you know, can race NASCAR too, so.
Well, I feel bad because, like, last year, nationwide, Johanna Long ran a partial schedule, and this year she's not in the car, and the person who is in the car hasn't done, it wasn't a top-tier car, but the person
right.
who's in the car is Derek Cope, who's actually won a couple of NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races, including one Daytona 500. But he hasn't done well in that car and finishing worse than what Johanna did. So it's all about money and marketing out there. So hopefully we're getting your name out there and you can attract some sponsors, and like I said, I'll pass your name off to my partner and get you some more coverage there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That'd be great. I mean, it's great to get out there, you know, and I love to, you know, be able to represent sponsors and, you know, be able to show them, you know, get their product out as well as, you know, get my name out. It's a great deal, and you're right. Marketing is a main part of this sport. I mean, it's an expensive hobby and sport for people to get into. So for them, and you know, sponsorship is the main backing point for us. So, yeah, that'd be great.
Now, do you have a website the listeners can go to check out some of your pictures and products you might have?
I'm working on getting a website that you guys can, that people, fans, and spectators can go out and look for. But right now all I have is a Facebook website that's Brittany Yarwood Racing. I've been posting weekly so far. Season just started. I just had my first race last weekend. So season just started, but, you know, I'm posting pictures and schedule and results until I get my website up and going.
We wish you a lot of luck here at Garage Talk Live, and we'll keep track of you throughout the year and maybe and have you back on a little bit down the road when under your belt and give everybody a shout-out and plug your website when you have it up and running, all that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I would love that, you know, as soon as we get things up and running. And, you know, I appreciate the luck. You know, luck is definitely a big part of racing, so I hope that, you know, we can attain more to that this year, and I appreciate you guys being able to get me exposed out there and have me on the show as well.
Well, that's what we do here at Garage Talk Live, and we can't either bring on the big names and bring on the young people that are going to be the future of the sport. So they all started where you're at, and so hopefully you can make that next big leap. So we wish you luck this season that you have, and hopefully you'll get a championship this year in your division and maybe move on to that bigger sprint car if you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I hope so. You know, there's many opportunities still out there. You know, I'm still young, able to get out there and race and hopefully get some more opportunities. And like I said, I'm great to have this opportunity tonight to be able to talk to you guys and, you know, meet hopefully more fans out of this. And it's been great talking with you guys. You guys are really nice, and I'm just glad that we were able to do this.
Well, just make sure you tell your friends if they want to listen to us online. I saw you post it up, and I gave you the exact link earlier, so you were able to get that down. And
we'll definitely
keep in touch, and wish you all the luck in the world. And again, it's great having you on.
Thank you. It was great being on.
Okay. You take care now.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have a young and up-and-coming driver, Brittany Yarwood, driving the 600cc Micro Sprints on dirt tracks out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We bring you racing from around the world, whether it be boat racing in Canada. Now there's a powerboat racer from Norway. I've yet to get on, but that's a time difference sort of thing. But I'm working on that. So we'll just have to keep bringing you the guests. Of course, yesterday's race was rained out, which kind of made it a little strange because the nationwide race was run on Friday night and the cup race was scheduled for yesterday. I was surprised they didn't run that Saturday night. If they did, they probably would have gotten it in and wouldn't have to have a Monday race. But the nationwide race was Chase Elliott, son of Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, getting his first nationwide win of the year. He's 18 years old, driving the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevy for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, the irony of all this is Chase Elliott, being the son of Bill Elliott, used to be Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s main rival back in the day. You either have your Elliott fans and you had your Earnhardt fans, and they were the big two doing battle. Of course, all the other drivers had their fans as well, but those were the big two. And Bill Elliott drove the Melling Ford, and Earnhardt drove first the Wrangler Chevy and then the Goodwrench Chevy. And both drivers were Sprint Cup Series winners. Of course, Bill Elliott winning once and Dale Earnhardt winning seven of them. That's neither here nor there, but that used to be the big rivalry, the big Ford driver versus the big Chevy driver. And Elliott had number nine, and Dale had number three. Now, you have young Chase, who is driving number nine, his dad's old number, but instead of driving a Ford, he's driving a Chevy. And he drives for his dad's biggest competitor's son. So it's kind of funny how it all comes down to who's got what and wants to hire whom. And Chase Elliott getting the chance this year from Junior Motorsports to drive for him, for Dale Jr. Yes, give Regan Smith some competition to battle for the title. Of course, Chase Elliott's a rookie. He's running for Nationwide Rookie of the Year and has a good shot to win it. But he wound up taking home his first win on Friday, and then it was the two Kyles right behind him, Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson. Seems like Kyle Larson is trying to follow in Kyle Busch's pathways, and wherever one goes, the other goes. So that was Busch was second, Larson was third. Fourth was Kevin Harvick, who was driving the number five Chevy for Dale Jr. and the Hunt Brothers Pizza. And Dale Jr. wound up driving the Ragu Chevrolet. So you had three Dale Jr. Motorsports drivers in the top five. And then you had the Gibbs driver and a Ganassi driver, second and third. But you're looking at four Chevys and one Toyota in the top five. Sixth place was Matt Kenseth. Seventh was Regan Smith, who drives for Junior. He was the other Junior driver. He didn't quite make the top five, but it didn't matter anyway. Eighth was Ryan Blaney. Ninth was Ty Dillon, and 10th was Elliott Sadler. It was a quick race, 2 hours, 10 minutes, 52 seconds long at the Texas Motor Speedway. The speeds are pretty high there. It was run in regulation, 200 laps were the complete of the race. Kevin Harvick led twice for 101 laps, led most of the race, but it wasn't his to win. His teammate for the day, Chase Elliott, took home the checkered flag. There was five cautions for 26 laps. From 14 lead changes amongst nine drivers. Chase Elliott, with his win, now takes the points lead by two over teammate Regan Smith. So Regan Smith not leading a lap and finishing seventh have cost him some points, and now he's two back of Chase Elliott. Ty Dillon's third, Elliott Sadler's fourth. Trevor Bain is fifth, sixth is Brendan Gaughan, seventh is Brian Scott, eighth is Dylan Kwasniewski, ninth James Buescher, and 10th is Ryan Reed, who we've had on the show. So congratulations to Chase Elliott and his first win of the season. And you can look for bigger and better things from him. Of course, Chase Elliott, we have some some audio from him from the weekend after his win.
Phenomenal night. It is an honor to be racing with these guys, and you know, obviously these guys know how to get the job done, and you know, they've won a lot of races to race, you know, past Kevin for the win and hold off Kyle there at the end. What was really cool to me, and hopefully we can be able to do that in the future this year. Well, I don't think you can ever take it for granted. But just because you're out front, that you're going to be able to get the job done. There's so many variables and so many things that can happen, and obviously all those things are running through your mind at all times. And obviously my main thing was just hoping and praying there wasn't going to be a caution coming out. My restarts were pretty terrible tonight.
And here's car owner Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking about his young driver on his win.
You know, I thought he could win right out of the gate. The guy's just nothing really gets him too excited, and you can't really, it looks like to me he doesn't get in situations that overwhelm him easily. You throw him out there in the middle of all these guys like Kyle and Harvick, and he just runs right with them and motors along and races hard, and you know, it's just it seems like he's just really prepared himself mentally for what he's doing.
And Kyle Busch, who finished second, had some nice things to say about Chase Elliott.
You know, I hate to lose, but, you know, it's still cool to see some of the younger guys have the opportunities to win races. And when they do, they seem to do it in style and make it look good. So congrats to Chase tonight. I've seen the kid grow up for the last few years. I've raced against some late models and, you know, seen him in ARCA cars, trucks, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's good to see his success paying off.
And on the Cup side of things, which the green flag was dropped at noon, but not quite. It turned out to be a green-yellow, which was the cars were out on the track, still doing some drying off. And when they were finally able to get the green, it was only a few laps when Dale Jr. was following Aric Almirola on past the start-finish line into the second dog leg before going into turn one. His left front hit the grass hard. It looked like his car just bounced and crushed the sheet metal into the tire, blowing the tire, sending Dale Jr. into the outside retaining wall where he hit pretty good and caught the thing on fire. And in his day, he wound up dead last on the day and kind of ruined his chances. He came in as the points leader and was probably had a good shot to stay up front there, but when you have a day like that and it ends that quick, it's not too good. Going throughout the day, there were all the six previous winners going into today's race. Most of them had problems. Kevin Harvick wound up, his motor let loose, and he wound up finishing 42nd. He was the Phoenix winner, so your Daytona winner and your Phoenix winner had a rough day. Brad Keselowski was running well. He had a jet dryer that was the air titan kind of started blowing the hood off of his car, so he had to get that patched up. But that didn't hurt him running too bad until late in the race. Kurt Busch had some problems. He bounced off the wall a couple times. The second time, bringing out the last caution, which happened just before the white flag, causing the yellow to be thrown. I think if NASCAR was a little slow on that, the Logano, who was leading the race up at the time, could have taken the white flag and coasted around to win, but that wasn't the case. Logano led pretty much out of the 340 laps. He led three times for for 108 laps. And it had to come down to a green-white checker finish. Of course, when that last yellow came out, everybody went for the pits, and some took two, some took four tires. Logano and Kyle Busch took four tires. Jeff Gordon, Vickers took, and Brian Vickers took two tires, so they were out. They were going to lead the restart with Gordon the lead out, and then out to his outside was Brian Vickers. And when the green flag dropped, Logano and Kyle Busch were following Vickers and Gordon. Logano was able to get around Busch right at the white flag, and he held on to the victory. Jeff Gordon wound up second. Kyle Busch made it to third because he was at fourth at the time. Brian Vickers faded, who was on the outside of the front row on the restart, wound up fourth, and Kyle Larson, I don't know, I thought it might be, they might have rushed him to Cup too early, but he seems to be doing rather well. So he was able to come home fifth. Rounding out the top ten were Greg Biffle in sixth, Kenseth in seventh, who was last year's winner. Eighth was Clint Bowyer. Ninth, Paul Menard. And pole sitter Tony Stewart wound up tenth. It was a good starting effort for three of the four Stewart Haas drivers, with Stewart on the pole. And Harvick was third. Kurt Busch was 11th out of the four. Danica was the only Stewart Haas driver that didn't have that good a qualifying run. She wound up starting 24th, finished 27th. So everybody's still waiting for her to get it together. It looked like it might have been a good chance for Stewart to climb into the win column, but it wasn't to be. His car was running good. But when the sun came out and the track changed, he wasn't able to get back to the front. He led three times for 74 laps. And but he's still doing pretty good. So the race was 3 hours and 48 minutes and 2 seconds. The average speed was 134.191. The margin of victory was 0.476 seconds. There were seven cautions for 49 laps. And there were 18 lead changes amongst nine drivers. It was Joey Logano with his first win of the season. She becomes the seventh different winner this year in seven races. It was his. And, of course, there was the Duck Commander 500. Everybody from Duck Dynasty was running around the media center and going the race on Sunday. So saw a lot of pictures on Facebook from there. And anybody that watched the race have a chance to look at that the Big Hoss TV screen. It's 218 feet wide by long, 94 feet high. High-definition TV, and they showed it from across the track. It looked like me looking across my living room to my little 43-inch, and it was crystal and clear. So I'll tell you, it was a – that must be an awesome thing to see this year is that new TV screen. Maybe we'll get reporter for Big Hoss TV down there. Paige Duke was running interviews, so former Miss Sprint Cup, see if we can get her on and talk about the Big Hoss TV from down there. Anyway, with Dale Jr. smacking the wall early, dropping out of the points lead, it's Jeff Gordon now at the top of the heap, and with 259 points. Matt Kenseth moves the second spot, 4 points back. Carl Edwards was third, 12 back. Fourth is Joey Logano. Fifth is Kyle Busch. Sixth is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Seventh, Jimmy Johnson. Eighth, Brad Keselowski. Ninth, Brian Vickers. 10th is Paul Menard. 11th is Ryan Newman. 12th is Austin Dillon. Of course, I'm going to give you the top 16 as how the chasers go. So 13th is Denny Hamlin. 14th, Tony Stewart. 15th is Kyle Larson. And 16th is Greg Biffle. Now, the caveat to that is you have to be in the top 30, and if you have a win in that top 30, you move into the chase. And right now, the only one out of the between the top 16 and the top 30 that's not in the top 16 is Kurt Busch in the 25th spot. So he would make the chase on wins and bump probably whoever would be in 16th down, which would be Greg Biffle at this point. He would get bumped. So right now you have your winners would be Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Dale Jr., and Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick. Oh, that's right. Harvick is 26th in points after today. So they would make the chase even though they're out of the top 16 because they have a win and they're in the top 30. So that's where you would stand on the point due to the way the rules are set up. Of course, Joey Logano about getting his win here at Texas Motor Speedway.
This is awesome. We've been in contention every race this year to win these things, and to get the Shell Pennzoil Ford Victory Lane, it means a lot because it's such a tough racetrack, and we have plenty of time to think about this for the last couple of days. So really cool place to win.
Of course, I guess Joey was asked how he felt when that last caution came out after having such a big lead.
When you got like 40-something laps after the last pit stop and you got a pretty sizable lead, really all you're thinking is, where's the white flag? Where's the white flag? And, Bragg was able to catch us a little bit. And then you go into turn one and you see the 41 up against the wall. And you're like, please no caution, please no caution. And, of course, boom, it comes out. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. So you get so mad that you can really control yourself, or at least for me. And, I had to make sure to stay calm and try to give Todd the information I needed to. And then he had to make the right call.
And he made the right call. He took four tires. And the question is, were they actually going to pit that late? And they all did. Just a matter of who took two and who took four. Of course, this coming race will be Saturday night out at Darlington. The lady that too tough to tame. So let's go ahead and eye this up and who can we pick? Well, we have eight different winners this year in eight different races. That's the question. And or will Matt Kenseth repeat? So, you know what? Looking at what I see running a night race, of course, this week it's going to be the 12th. And last year's race was won, it was about a month later, on May the 11th. But I think it's going to be... We might have an eighth different winner. So I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to pick Denny Hamlin. I think he's going to come back and he's going to take the win at Darlington this weekend. So will he tame the lady in black? We'll just have to wait and see. But he's my guess. So that's it for tonight. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Hope you enjoyed the show. Special thanks to my guests, Erica Ender Stevens and Brittany Yarwood. Go check her out on Facebook, Brittany Yarwood Racing, and give her some support, and hopefully she can have a good year this year, and we like to see all our guests do well, and of course the four wide nationals down at Z-Max Dragway in Charlotte, which is just outside the track at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's probably across the street down there, and catch some racing four wide there. So hopefully Erica Enders can take home another win, increase her points lead, and on her march to a championship. I'd love to see her be the first woman ever to be a pro stock champion. That would be great. And that's our show for tonight. I'm Vince Bonfigli here for Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week. Good night and good racing.